No spin, just the facts, the questions, the answers. Chris Lynch on News Talk ZB.
It is News Talk ZB with Chris Lynch. Thanks so much for joining us on air and online at facebook.com/Chris Lynch ZB. Minister Nikki Wagner is now with us. Good morning and thanks for your time.
Morning, Chris.
Les, before we get involved in the options that have been released today for the stadium, the government released a blueprint in 2012 with a 30-seat capacity stadium. What's changed?
Well, in actual fact, things have changed quite a lot since 2012, particularly in how people are using multi-use arenas. A lot of more thought has gone into that, new technologies. And what we're seeing now is that we think 25,000 seat plus a 5,000 seat will do the job that we need.
Okay. For the people who may be just coming up to speed with this news, outline the current four options for us, please. And what do you prefer?
Well, the options look at size, and so three of the options say 25,000 with a 5,000 temporary seating. The largest is the fourth option is a 30,000 with 5,000. Then they look at roofing and removable turf, believe it or not. So the first one, the cheapest option, has an open roof, about 80% covered, but an open roof, and that means that you can have the turf inside and it will be looked after. It can still grow, all right. The second option is a plastic roof, a roof that they've got down in Dunedin, and you can have the turf inside for that. And the third option is a solid roof, but a removable turf. And that's a new technology that's been looked at probably for the last five or so years around the world. I think Phoenix University and Tottenham Hotspur have got that kind of turf removal. And what the advantage of that is that not only can you have events that use grass, which of course is rugby and NFL and any of those turf games and sports, but you can also use it with a hard floor, which means you can do things like concerts, of course, which ruin the grass, but also things like maybe motocross, you could bring dirt in, or maybe, I remember at one stage we had a skiing day and we brought snow and that sort of thing. So it means that you can have a greater variety of entertainment or events, plus you can do it quicker. And in terms of making a multi-use arena work for a city, is it's got to be used as many days a week as you possibly can.
So how do we,
flexibility you can.
So how do we achieve that, Minister? Because we know at the end of the day that stadiums by and large can be loss-making ventures. So in a population of Christchurch, which is considerably small to other international cities with stadiums, how do we make it work? What are the ideas? Is it a matter of restaurants and cafeterias owned by whoever owns the stadium? Is it hotels? What?
Well, if you look at what this is a pre-feasibility study to look at what sort of size would work, what could you bring, what would you be able to deliver within that, and then you have to look about how you're going to make that pay, because you're absolutely right. That's why you move to a multi-use arena rather than a stadium. A multi-use arena is much more than a stadium. If you think about Lancaster Park, it was mostly empty. It was open for the big events, and it did have some convention center stuff around it later, just before it was earthquaked out. They built a new area in that, but generally speaking, it wasn't used every day of the week. This is what you want to aim for with a multi-use arena, and there's multiple things happening around the world about how you could do that. So you could incorporate something like a learning environment. You could incorporate, of course, a fan zone. What they're seeing in other places is you don't actually have to have the event happening in your multi-use arena to bring people into it. So you might say the Crusaders are playing, they're playing this week, so you go and watch it live, but next week when they're playing in Wellington, you still go to the arena, but instead of going into the stadium part of it, you'll be in the bars and restaurants and perhaps big screens and making it work there. So the key issue for this is to look at new technologies and new ways to use the space so that it isn't a white elephant, so it does pay for itself. And that's the pre-feasibility is to give the framework for that, and then the next step is to look at all these options to see how we can make it pay.
Okay, so the next option then is to what? Choose the option that's preferred and have a business case study? What's next?
We have a business case study which will be looking at those options, seeing what people prefer, what's going to deliver the best outcomes. It will also be looking internationally at the ways other people have made their multi-use arenas work for them. It will be talking to promoters. I mean, what we have in Christchurch is it's actually a place that people do want to come to. We used to have Lancaster Park, and it was pretty well used. This would be used a lot more because it's much more flexible. And if you think about Christchurch, where the gateway to the South Island, we've got a large resident population close, plus we've got a hinterland to draw on. We have an international airport, so it's easy for people to come in here, and we also have accommodation in the central city. So we are a very good option if somebody wants to bring a concert here or some kind of game here or perhaps something like the under-20s FIFA Cup, that sort of thing. So there's lots of options that can be used here, and we are a good place to come. And we have a history of Lancaster Park.
Okay, it all sounds very nice, but I can't help but thinking more reports, more talk fests, lack of action. You know what people are saying on social media. You know what residents probably think too. It's, can we just get on with it now?
You just have to be careful about that, because this was originally put in the blueprint.
Yes.
But it was decided by the people of Christchurch and the council that it should be put out. At the moment, it's out for 2022 because people said we want to get other things finished first. This is the least important thing. And part of the reason was because we built the AMI Stadium, which has done a really good job. We built that in 2012. It's been there for 5 years. It is consented for a further 5 years. So this is what the Crown did to fill that gap, and so it has meant that people have said, well, this is not so urgent, but I think the time has come that we need to be looking at it and getting on with it.
Minister, while I've got you on the phone, what on earth is happening with the IRD building that sits there idle in the middle of town? I mean, I remember speaking to ministers 3 years ago saying that was a decision was going to be made 3 years ago. Ooh. Why do we allow a building to sit idle there in the middle of the central city and some of the most prime real estate areas of the city? Do you know?
Because there has been quite a lot of debate about what should happen to it. Originally, of course, it was going to be demolished, but it is actually going to be kept. And we have several options of what we can do with it. We've had people put submissions, and I think we're pretty close to making an announcement. So you will be the first to know, Chris.
Well, I'll hold you to that, Minister.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't mind some good news for once. Nikki Wagner, thank you very much for finding up on our program this morning. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.